Welcome to the Meb Faber Show, where the focus is on helping you grow and preserve your wealth. Join us as we discuss the craft of investing and uncover new and profitable ideas, all to help you grow wealthier and wiser. Better investing starts here.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at YCharts. A typical day in the life of a financial advisor calls for back-to-back client meetings, juggling portfolio management, and the consistent desire to improve client relationships. YCharts report and proposal tools could be the missing piece to help you effectively handle these time-consuming tasks. Now more than ever, clients want to hear from their advisors, and with user-friendly templates at your disposal, generating impactful client reports can be easily integrated into your everyday routine, helping you free up time and focus on what matters most, enhancing client interactions and growing AUM. Need to make a clear head-to-head comparison between a client's existing portfolio and your proposed one? Want a seamless way to educate your client and present market trends with minimal effort? Join thousands of users who rely on YCharts to easily answer those questions and much more by leveraging personalized proposal reports to truly showcase your value add. Click the link in the show notes to learn what others are saying about YCharts' comprehensive suite of reporting and proposal generation tools. Get 20% off your initial YCharts professional subscription when you start your free YCharts trial. Click the link in the show notes or tell them Meb sent you. For new customers only.
Meb Faber is the co-founder and chief investment officer at Cambria Investment Management. Due to industry regulations, he will not discuss any of Cambria's funds on this podcast. All opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Cambria Investment Management or its affiliates. For more information, visit CambriaInvestments.com.
Today, we're going to do a fun, short Mebisode. It's been a while. The title of today's talk is, What If You Own No U.S. Stocks? Let's begin. Stocks for the Long Run by Jeremy Siegel is one of my favorite books. If you were to ask me what the single most universally held belief in all of investing is, I'd say it's stocks are the best way to build wealth, full stop. And I don't disagree. After all, the largest strategy I manage is a long-only U.S. stocks fund, but I don't necessarily agree either. Now, U.S. stocks are the starting point and the largest allocation for almost every investing portfolio we see, and they likely should be, as they're the world's largest stock market at around 60% of the total, which is 10 times larger than the number two ranked country, Japan, which is astonishing on its own. And U.S. stocks have compounded returns at around 10% forever, and the crazy math behind that is if you hold them for 25 years, you 10x your money, and after 50 years, you 100x your money. So $10,000 plunked down at the age of 20 would grow to be $1 million in retirement. Amazing. So it's natural that when we poll investors on Twitter that U.S. stocks are the most universally held investing category. But stocks can go a painfully long time with flat performance as well as nauseating bear markets. And they can go through painfully long periods underperforming other assets too. So what if there's another way? What if you could build wealth without owning any U.S. stocks? Blasphemy. I had fun over coffee recently with our asset class backtester, and I'm going to describe some stats for U.S. stocks as well as an allocation I'll call not U.S. stocks. Now, I limited it to market cap weighted assets. I didn't use any active management, and it took about 10 minutes to come up with. The percentages don't really matter. It's just trying to make a point here, and the stats across the board are near identical. You can click on the link in the show notes to view the chart and tables, but I'll walk through them all here now. If you look at since 1972 through 2022, U.S. stocks did 10.2% a year. Awesome. Our column of not U.S. stocks also did 10.2% returns. The volatility, Sharpe ratio, standard deviation, Sortino, maximum drawdown, and percent positive months were all near identical. In fact, I think if you blinded the title of either column, you wouldn't be able to tell A from B. Now, the equity curve line is a little different, but again, they get to the same place over the course of 50 years. This allocation includes things like REITs, ex-US stocks, corporate bonds, US and foreign bonds, and gold. If you don't believe me, and most people don't, this sounds fantastical that you could have an allocation that does not include U.S. stocks. But here's another example. Most people, while they mostly own U.S. stocks, they don't usually only own U.S. stocks. So they may have a 60-40 portfolio where 60% is U.S. stocks, 40% bonds, or maybe a global market portfolio of all assets. So I thought we'd compare if you took a look at U.S. stocks and took them out altogether of an allocation and replaced them with ex-U.S. stocks. For the Americans out there, that would be foreign equities. And if you look at something like the global market portfolio today, held it consistently back in time to 1972, you end up with a pretty nice allocation. Now, it's not optimal, but still totally fine. For example, the returns of the global market portfolio are 9.07%. And this global market portfolio with no U.S. stocks are 8.68%. So you're looking at a roughly 0.3% difference per year. Again, you can look at the show notes to get the exact data in the tables. But in reality, my belief has always been things like taxes and expense ratios and fees will be more important than the exact percentages of what you own. Don't get me started on things like behavioral problems. But again, the volatility, Sharpe, Sortino, max drawdown, and percent positive months were near identical. And these results are consistent all the way back to 1926 as well, where from 1926 to 2022, if you did the global market portfolio, you did not as high as the returns in this last 50 years, but 7.69% versus the global market portfolio with no stocks is 7.11%. So roughly around a 0.5% disadvantage for almost near identical. Now, if you did the global 60-40, that's pretty similar results as well. And the whole point is that you have to own something. Now, for many Americans, it's a house. But my point is, it really doesn't matter so much what you specifically own as the mindset of being the owner. We like to talk a lot about housing, and the reason it's a great investment is not because the housing specifically was a good investment, but rather that's money that the investor would have otherwise probably spent. If you have to force to pay a mortgage over 30 years versus having that cash in your checking account, likely as most of us hedonically will adjust and go spend that money rather than save it. And if you really wanted to have some fun with this simulation and look at something that really moves the needle, you could use strategies like active management, like trend, or factor tilts, like value or momentum, and come up with at least historically simulated portfolios that are vastly superior to portfolios that only own U.S. stocks. Personally, I believe you can get higher returns and lower volatility and drawdown with these additions, and while including no U.S. stocks all the while, certainly is better to include them. I would direct you to read some of our old Trinity portfolio white papers, as well as our global asset allocation book, Shareholder Yield, all of which are available for free to download online at mebfaber.com or cambriainvestments.com. Thanks for tuning in to this very short mebisode. Thanks for listening and good investing. Podcast listeners will post show notes to today's conversation at mebfaber.com/podcast. If you love the show, if you hate it, shoot us feedback at themebfabershow.com. We love to read the reviews. Please review us on iTunes and subscribe to the show anywhere good podcasts are found. Thanks for listening, friends, and good investing.